are. There's something we forget sometimes. We get discouraged. We have a desire to be more like the Lord, and then things get hard. Anybody ever had that happen? We got our theme this year is coming more alive in 2025. How many has found it tough the last couple of months? Anybody found that tough? Huh? A couple people acknowledged it. I just want you to know it's been tough. It's been tough. Well, I want to help you a little bit, let you understand. If you're trying to be more like the Lord, which we should, He must increase, I must decrease. That's what John the Baptist said. Brother Butch has taught us very well these past many years in praying and testifying that we might be made more like Him. And we should be. The Bible teaches us that we'll be conformed into His image. The Bible teaches that. Everybody with me? But what we fail to remember sometimes. My life verse is Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Well, that's great. Knowing Him and that the power of His resurrection, ain't that wonderful? The power where He raised up from the dead, showing He's God. But then it goes on and says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Can I tell you that we need to be more like Him, but there's going to be suffering involved. There's going to be some heartaches involved. Not that it's a punishment, but that we might be like Him. We need to think about that. And all of that is to conform us in His image. And all that comes right with the message this morning. I want you to think about some things. It's been tough. The last year or so has been pretty tough on most of us. And I don't know that there's anybody. It's been... what's to be the word? Unscathed. Nobody's been without being wounded in some way, whether it be sickness or sorrow, tragedy or disappointment or whatever the case may be, in the last couple of years especially. And I want to help us this morning. If you'll listen and don't just hear, all right, hearing is not the issue. But if you'll listen, it'll help you. It'll help you. I've got some help from this myself, and I hope that it helps you this morning. All right? Everybody all right?
Yes.
If you got anything to say, you help yourself. Well, let's pray together, and we'll get right into the message. Father, we thank You so much for how great You are. And Lord, I understand that I'm a wretch. I understand that. I understand I do fail. But Lord, there is times that I don't do bad. I understand that. And that's when I get discouraged more. It's when I seem like I'm doing it right and it ain't no easier. Lord, I need You this morning. I can't do nothing. I believe Your word. I stand on Your word. And Lord, I pray that this word might change me this morning. Don't let it just be words that I read or say, but God, may Your word change me. May it change us here this morning. Lord, there's some that are trying and they're discouraged. They'll say, I'm trying. What's the use? I'm not getting no better. Some have quit trying. Some have took a break from trying. And Lord, some don't even know how to try. Lord, we got to trust You. You're our answer this morning. I pray this morning that we might realize who You are and what You can do for us. Lord, You expect things out of us. We know that. You expect us to give You our life. And Lord, that's not much. You give us Your life, and that was a lot. Help us be more like You this morning. Cleanse me, I pray. Empower me as You see fit. Give me wisdom, not only to preach this morning, but the pastor of this church. And Lord, may every ear be open, every heart be opened. May we be more than attentive. Lord, may we apply today. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name and amen. Turn to Genesis, if you would, chapter 16. Now, I'm not trying to interfere in none of Brother Rick's Sunday school coming up. But we're going to mind the Lord this morning. Genesis chapter 16. And let the Lord speak. Maybe we can apply some things here at the last half of the message anyway. All right, I want us to look here. When we read about Genesis here, we're reading about Abraham and Sarah, and we're reading about Hagar, and we want to show you some things about Hagar, some truths that we can maybe relate to in some ways, if we'll be very generous with ourselves this morning. We can relate even more, if we will. All right, Genesis chapter 16, and let's start at verse 6, all right? Let's start at verse 6. It said, "But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou? Whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? I want you to look again at verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Now, let's flip over to chapter 21 and read a little bit more, and then we'll bring it all together. Now, when we read there about Hagar and Sarah, later on, Abram and Sarai, and it turned into Abraham and Sarah, as we see that she was barren, Sarah was barren, couldn't have a child. And while they were in Egypt, as Rick taught us this morning, they brought back some servants. And one of the servants that they brought back was Hagar. And she worked for Sarah. And Sarai got her to, because she was barren, got her to go in and become a concubine or a second wife to Abraham. And there she conceived, got pregnant, and things didn't turn out real well. Things was not good. Ishmael was born. It said he was going to be a wild man. His seed is going to be numbered, not like Isaac, but it's going to be a big nation. Can I tell you, that's who's over fighting today, is Isaac's people and Ishmael's people. And Ishmael's people, they've always been wild, and everybody's been against them, and they've been against everybody. They ain't had a friend in a bucket, nowhere. And that's the way it is. That was told right here. And so if you want to know how things are over there, well, it's just what the Bible says about it. But that's why we're not going to dwell on that. We just want to get you in mind what's happening here. Genesis chapter 21, verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now we find that Sarah ended up getting pregnant, had Isaac, Now they're going to be fighting. Sarah don't want none of that. It says, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she said over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Well, that's the story of Hagar and Ishmael and Sarah and Abraham and all the hard things. Can I tell you, there's some things here I want to call your attention to, and then we'll do some application. Everybody hang with me now. I know that's more reading than I normally do. Normally I'll read a verse and that's it. But I want you to listen carefully because it's important. We're going to look at some other scripture. And I got a little ground to cover here, so listen carefully. Hagar was having a hard time. Can you agree to that? She was having a hard time. If I go back and would look, I don't know whether there was any money paid for Hagar. Undoubtedly, she was a servant in Egypt. Abraham and Sarah gets her. I don't know how they ended up getting her, but she was still a servant. She hadn't prospered much. She was still a servant. And Hagar was a servant to Sarah, and she was loyal to her master, obedient. Even the Lord tells her to be submissive, and she was submissive. In a way, she was used by Sarah. Sarah couldn't have a child, so she got Hagar in there, and Sarah used her, and it turned out not to be a good thing. There's too much trouble. Too much trouble. That's another message altogether. We got the flesh and the spirit fighting. And can I tell you, the flesh and the spirit will always fight. And if we're not careful, we'll let the flesh win. And when the flesh wins, there's nothing but trouble. Listen to me this morning. When your flesh wins, there's trouble. Every time. Not sometime, but every time there's trouble. And depending on the situation is how much trouble there is. Now, Hagar then, like us a lot of times, we get in trouble trying to do right, and then we get defensive. Have you ever got defensive when you know you was doing right? When the things that come upon you was not your choosing? And you just want to be submissive and obedient to your master. And then you get a little, wait a minute now. Well, that's what happened to Hagar. She got pregnant and was having the baby, then she got a little big feeling. And she put Sarah in her place and said, you're barren, I got the kid. And so Sarah just put her out. Pretty rough. We ain't gonna argue about this, but hit the road, girl. That's what she done. And it didn't go with much. They give her a bottle of water, a loaf of bread, and tell her bye. That ain't much, is it? Wasn't nothing for weeks to come. All right? But what it was just trouble. Everybody sees that. Well, she finds herself after she has Ishmael, she finds herself, Sarah done throwed her out. Here she thought she was going to have it made and do good, because all she really wanted from the beginning was loyalty and to be loyal and submissive and obedient. A lot of times all we want in life is just to be loyal and submissive and obedient, and we don't ask for all the troubles in the trial. We don't ask for them. But things happen. Life happens. Everybody follow me right now? Life happens. Everything in life ain't great. Even everything, and I'm not going to sell you a bill of goods this morning. Everything with Jesus is good, but everything in living the Christian life is not good. There's some hard times in the Christian life. There's hard times in being a Christian. Can I tell you that being saved is simple? You trust Christ as your Savior, but when you go to walk the walk then there's things that's gotta die off pretty quick. Gotta die off daily. And it gets tough and a lot of decisions to be made. And then if it's just you and the Lord, it ain't a problem. But there's all you people. I could live a pretty good Christian life if it wasn't for all you people I got to deal with. Is that what we say? Huh? If it wasn't for my family, my friends, and all the strangers, I'd be all right. Right? There ain't nobody left, are there? Huh? But see, it don't work like that. And then there's problems. I'm trying to do right and then it gets sick. I'm trying to do right and then somebody dies. I'm trying to do right and I get a heartbreak. I'm trying to do right and I lose my job. I'm trying to do right and this happens and that happens. But I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to follow my master. I'm trying to be obedient. Trying to be loyal. But it seems like everybody hates me. You ever been there? Then we find Ishmael's born. Hagar's put out. She done run out of Sarah's face once. Now Abraham puts her out. Hagar finds herself in the wilderness, and water's gone, bread's gone, desert, heat, hot. She sits with her son, puts him under some kind of brush and gets over here 30 yards, 40 yards away and sits and turns her back to him and says, I ain't watching him die. I ain't going to be over and watch him die. Just going to sit here and we're all going to perish. Just me and the kid both. You ever been there when you just want to go sit somewhere and die? Everybody still with me? Now hang with me now and we'll find some help. All right? Everybody still okay? Well, something happened. When Hagar left and got out of Sarah's face for a little bit, the Lord talked to her. Now, she was an Egyptian, but she had enough sense to know who was talking to her. And when she talked to the Lord, she said, this is the God that sees me. This is the God that sees me. Now he's talking to her and he's assuring her. He said, now listen, you're going to have a kid. We're going to name him Ishmael. Listen to what I tell you. Name him Ishmael. He's going to be a great nation. You go on back, be submissive. You go on back and do what you're supposed to do. And she went on back. But it was hard. It was hard. Not always easy to do what you're supposed to do. It's not always easy. It's always right. But it's not always easy. Now, ain't none of us can do it by ourselves. But the Lord told us, and you're going back. Now, he sees her, so he's aware of everything that's happening. Are we okay? But things get worse. Cheer up. Things will get worse. What we always say, ain't it? Cheer up. Things will get worse. Well, Abraham throws her out. Now they're out there in the wilderness. Ain't no water, ain't nothing. But that same God that talked to them the first time still happened to be around. And the God that he was this time wasn't just a God that sees. He was the God that hears. And he heard their cry. And because of their cry out to him, then he took care of the situation. Here they got plenty to drink. And here they prosper and become a nation, just like he said. It turned out all right. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And this morning I want to try to help you. See, where we're at today is the past year and a half, 2 years, we've had a hard time. And it seems like it's not just in the church, it's people that we meet and strangers and new people. And we're finding ourselves in a sense, a lot like Hagar here. A lot of death, a lot of sickness, a lot of tragedy, a lot of trouble. We find ourselves alone. We find ourselves confused. See, we were living in a day that we're seeing some confusion, even in people who know the Lord, but there's some confusion. Because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're not doing what we know to do. Can I tell you, if you know to do something and don't do it, sometimes you're confused in making that decision. Are you still with me this morning? Sometimes we're confused, we're hurt, huh? Trying to do right, feeling unloved. Have you ever felt unloved? Huh? You ever felt hurt? Well, that's the way life is, ain't it? But we're trying to do right. Ever feel used? Huh? But we're trying to do right. Ever feel abused? But we're trying to do right. We're trying to be submissive to our master. Trying to be obedient to our master. And we find all these things come upon us. Ever feel like you're forsaken? Ever feel like it ain't going to matter what decision you make, it's going to be the wrong one? Hagar agrees to do what Sarah says, and Sarah gets up in her face and she goes out in the wilderness. She goes back, tries to do what God had told her to do, trying to do right. Abraham pitches her out. Right when you're trying to do right, don't seem like you're gaining nothing. Now, I understand the situation. I understand the purpose of all that. But I'm telling you, sometimes we forget about how others feel. I can't imagine the mind, and I'm not going to add nothing to the Bible, but I can't imagine the mentality, the emotional stress that Hagar was under. Things wasn't too good. If you're out in the desert, ain't got no water, ain't got no bread, and you got one kid, and y'all going to die, it's not a good day. Can you agree to that? It's not a good day. But in both of them instances, when she went out and Sarah got in her face and she fled and went out in the wilderness and the Lord spoke to her. And then when Abraham pitched her out and the Lord spoke to her, her and Ishmael both again, it gives us some truth this morning. That we got a God that sees, and we got a God that hears. Amen. And if I can for a minute this morning, I just want to preach on that very simple thought. That we got a God that sees, and we got a God that hears this morning. He sees you and he hears you, though you feel like no one's around. We got a God that cares this morning. We got a God that is as real as a day is long this morning. We learned it in our Bible class, in the theology part, about the names of God. And I've enjoyed the last 2 weeks of class more than I've enjoyed any message anywhere at any service at any church in the last 50 years. I've enjoyed the last two Thursday nights better than any of it. Just on seeing who God is. The God that sees. His Hebrew name is El Roa. The mighty God, the strong one that sees us. Huh? And then I got to doing some looking, and it says, not only the mighty one, the strong one that sees us, but the strong one that hears us is El Shama. El Shama, Shama. Can I tell you, I got a God that sees me. I got a God that sees me standing in this pulpit this morning. There's a God this morning seeing you sitting there in a pew. You're here on live stream. He's watching you on your sick bed this morning. You got the flu. You got the crud. You've got cancer. He's watching you. He sees you. He hears you when you call. You've been praying. You ain't got no answer. You've been trying to get the attention from God. You ain't got what you searched for, but it ain't because He ain't there. He sees you. And He hears you this morning. I got a God that's alive. I'm not serving a dead Jew. I'm serving a living God. I serve that living Savior this morning. I want you to know Him. I want you to understand that this is a real, it's not a story, it's not religion, but it's a relationship with one that sees you and hears you this morning. And you can talk to Him. You can talk to them. We're going to look at some scripture. But see, we're awful hard-headed. And we're not stupid. We're not ignorant. But boy, we're all thick-headed. Huh? I don't know if it's just where we're born at. But some of y'all wasn't born where I was born. Huh? But I think we all got, I think if you skin us, we're all the same. Huh? I believe we all got a solid object on our shoulders. Huh? Can you agree to that? If we can't agree to that, probably won't get much further. Turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, I'm going to give you some scripture, then we're going to look at some things this morning about the God that sees and the God that hears. Everybody still with me this morning? Psalm 77, we're going to start at verse 1. Psalm 77, we'll probably read the whole psalm or down there ways, verse 14 anyway. All right, Psalm 77, verse 1, it says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. Ain't that wonderful? I mean, that's enough to shout about right there, ain't it? Verse 2 says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. Now look at how we are. My soul refused to be comforted. Can I tell you, Hagar could have died out there in that wilderness if she had not went ahead and chose to drink what was supplied to her by the God that sees and the God that hears. She had done used up her fleshly supply of what she had with her of her own water and her own bread. Can I tell you this morning that you can't live off of what you got yourself? You can't live off your water and off your bread. You're going to have what only He that sees and He that hears will give you this morning. That's all that's going to help you. You're not going to get it in the world. You're not going to get it in counseling. You're not going to get it somewhere else. Listen, you're only going to get it from the God, the strong one that sees, the strong one that hears. And if you don't know Christ this morning, you ain't going to have nothing. For without Christ, you have absolutely nothing. But we refuse to be comforted. I think of Jacob when they come and told him that Joseph was alive. He refused to be comforted. He didn't believe it. He didn't care. He wanted to be. Sometimes we get so hurt and so forsaken and so alone, and all these things come to us that we don't want no help. We want to get right down there and just waller in it. It says here, my sore ran in the night and ceased not. Now that gives us a picture of an old petrified sort of old running boil. How about that? Runs through the night and don't quit. It says, my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. Wait a minute. When I remember God, why would I be troubled if I remember God? I complained. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. Do we? Yeah. Do we? Yeah. And my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, think on that. Verse 4 says, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I remember when I used to be able to sing. I remember when there was little joy. I remember when it wasn't this bad. I remember when I was on the mountain. I remember when everything was going good. I remember. You remember? Huh? I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? How come I'm in this shape? How come I'm hurting? How come my heart's broke? How come I'm forsaken? Is it always going to be like this now? It's never going to get any better. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Is His mercy clean gone forever? Jerry Rush just prayed this morning, a while ago, that they was new this morning. He got up and they were new this morning. Yet in our mind and our heart, we don't think His mercies are even around anymore. Huh? But there's a God that sees you this morning. And there's a God that hears you this morning. There's a God you can still trust. There's a God that's still alive and well. There's a God that cares about you this morning. You're not thrown away. You're not trash. You're not junk. You're not forgotten. You're not forsaken. For He has told us that He will never leave us, never forsake us. Huh? Think about that. He's a God that sees, and He's a God that hears. Man, it's His name. Huh? El Roi. Oh, the God that sees me. El Shama. The God that hears me. Oh, He's a great God this morning. But yet, I complain. Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Look at me this morning. There's not nary a promise that's ever failed, and there's not one that will ever fail, because He can't fail. He is the Almighty. He is the Mighty One, the Great One. Ain't nobody like Him this morning. Verse 9 says, hath God forgotten to be gracious? How can we even ask a question? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Oh my goodness. What does He give us? What does He give us this morning? Oh, He's given us so much. We've got everything, deserve nothing. He's been so gracious and merciful. He's given me time and chance over and over. I've been disobedient, rebellious, and He's given me chance after chance after chance. He's given me a grace, abundant grace, marvelous grace, more than I can count. Supply my needs. He gave me mercy. Oh, He's given me everything this morning. Huh? We still okay? Verse 10 says, or verse 9, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah, think on that. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Huh? Hey, we ought to mark verse 13. Thy way, oh God, is in the sanctuary. Hey, you want help this morning? You just keep on coming to church. Come on to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and you'll get help. There'll be help there you're not aware of this morning. There will be. Thou art the God that doeth wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. I just want you to know this morning, there's help here this morning by the God that sees and the God that hears. Well, what does he see? What does he see? Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. He sees what you need. He sees what you need this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 8. It says, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth. Can you read the next phrase with me? What things you have need of before ye ask him. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask. See, he sees you this morning. He knows your name. He sees you, and he knows what you need. Huh? Can I tell you, a lot of times we think we need something we don't. We think we need one thing. And no, that ain't what we need. Huh? We ought to remember that he sees us and he knows what things we have need of even before we ask him. Huh? Can I tell you something else? He knows our hurts. He don't just know our needs, but he knows our hurts. He knows when you're hurting this morning. Look in Psalms 56. Psalms 56. And verse 8. Psalms 56 verse 8. I wish Hannah and Landon was up here this morning. Back here in my desk drawer, I got a little bottle. They used to come and get in my desk drawer and they said, Papa, what's this bottle for? And I would tell them that's my tear bottle. Verse 8 says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Can I tell you this morning that he sees your needs and he sees your hurt? And he knows when your heart is broken. He knows when you got more on you than you can handle, that you come apart. He knows everything about you this morning. He knows when death has come and your heart's broken. He knows when your people has walked away and your heart's broken. He knows when your children are rebellious and your heart is hurt and broken. He knows all about you this morning. And he cares enough that he runs up there with that golden vial and puts it under your eyeball. And as the tears run down your face, he'll keep them. Write them down in the book that he knows how you care. Why is a God that sees this morning? Hey, I'm thankful for a God that sees little old me as not but a speck. I'm not even a speck. If you think about the God of this universe that sets his feet upon the earth and uses it for his footstool, and I'm just a little speck on this whole big earth, and he sees me this morning. Oh my goodness. What a God I have this morning. What a God I want you to have this morning. What a God I want you to enjoy. Huh? To trust this morning. There's something else he sees. He's aware and he sees our sins. He sees my hurts and he sees my needs. But he sees me when I'm wrong. In Psalms 90, verse 8, Psalms 90 verse 8 says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. He sees my needs. He sees it. He sees my hurts. Boy, he sees my wrongs this morning. He sees my wrongs. He sees my sin. He's aware of what I'm doing. It ain't just the good things that he sees me all the way around. I need to be cautious. I need to be careful. I always think of Brother Rick and that bird that come across the cage, and as if Tommy would step down that cage. Careful, careful, careful. That's the way we better live our life. Careful, careful, careful. Because he sees. We don't hide nothing from God. He sees this morning. But he sees something else this morning. He does see our heart. He sees our heart. He does see our intentions. He sees when we want to do right and we're troubled on every hand. Are you hearing me this morning? He knows. He knows when you're trying. He knows. But sometimes we just can't get it done. I don't know about you, but I know what that Bible says. Sometimes I just can't get it done. Sometimes I ain't living like that book says to live. Sometimes I ain't measuring up. Huh? Sometimes, see, I fail. Huh? Was that transparency you was talking about there, Becky? Sometimes I can't get through. There's sometimes I can't pray. I don't get through. Boy, sometimes I'll walk away and say, I'm done with the whole shooting match. Huh? Sometimes. But he knows my heart. Jeremiah said, I ain't saying no more to nobody. I'll not tell nobody nothing. Everybody can just go their own way. And he said, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. But yet there was a fire down in his bones and it couldn't be contained. And he still had to brag on, listen to me this morning. There's times it's a force to even be your pastor. But oh, there's a fire in my bones. And it'll tell you, he's a great God and sees you this morning. And he sees your needs. And he sees your hurts. And he sees your sin. But he sees your heart that you do love the Lord. That you do care about him, and he pities you as a father with his child, and remember that you're but dust. He remembers all that and said, my grace is sufficient, and I'll help you walk when you can't walk. I'll carry you when you can't go. But just look to me. I'm the God that sees you this morning. That's the one I serve this morning. Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad I got him this morning. Oh, what would I do without him this morning? The God that sees where I'm at. But wait a minute. Hey, something else. If you give me a minute, I'll show you about the God that hears me. Huh? How about Psalms 34? Are we okay? Psalms 34. Psalms 34. How about the... Let's see, about verse 15, I believe. Psalms 34, verse 15. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The God that sees me and the God that hears me. The God. Not a God, the God, the strong one, Elohim, the mighty one, the God, the Lord. Hey, I got the Lord this morning, and that's enough. Don't need nothing else. Huh? You got him this morning? You got him this morning? Are you trusting him this morning? Are you living for him this morning? Are you depending on him this morning? You say, preacher, I'm weak. Oh, lean on him. Lean on him when he's weak. Let him carry you. Let him carry you this morning. We still okay? The God that hears. How about Psalms 120? Psalms 120. How about we just look at verse 1? Psalms 120, verse 1. Yonamarki, I told you on the message this morning, bring your pencil and your Bible. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Oh, thank be unto God this morning and hear me when I cry in my distress. Listen, these times that nobody knows. Cheryl don't know. Not a person who walks this earth knows. I go out of that building or behind the building or back in the shed. And I cry in my distress unto God. I cry unto him. Oh, but I could come out of there knowing that he's the God and heareth me when I cry aloud in my distress this morning. He's the God that hears. He hears me in my distress. How about, let's look here back to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, how about? Psalms 34. Let's start here around verse 17, can we? Are you with me? Psalms 34, 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivers them out of all their troubles. He will deliver. Well, what is it that the Kim always sung, Kim Harris sung? My Lord will deliver me. Huh? Look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many, look at verse 19, mark it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I'm glad this morning for the God that sees and for the God that hears this morning. Are you still with me this morning? How about we turn over now to chapter 66, Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And let's start here, verse 18. How about we start at verse 16? Psalm 64. Wait a minute. Psalm 66, verse 16. Now, I want you to get this morning. I want to help you. I want you to know this same Lord, this same Jesus this morning. I want you to know this same God. I want you to rely on him and trust him this morning. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. God hears me in my distress. He hears me in my trouble. He hears me when I pray. He's the God that hears. You see, this morning, I believe a lot of us are hurting. And we got to have that God that sees. We got to trust that one that sees. We got to trust that one that hears. And I'm asking you this morning, are you? Are you? Don't refuse to be comforted this morning. Don't refuse the help of the Lord. Don't refuse him knocking on your heart's door wanting to be your Savior. Don't refuse him drawing you to a place of repentance. Don't refuse him this morning trying to guide you and to set your steps sure this morning. Don't refuse him this morning. Trust him. Trust him. Listen, I got a God that sees. I got a God that sees. I've been battling here lately. Why should I battle? Our theme is coming more alive, fully alive in 2020. Man, it's been a battle. I'm ready to go back and preach on love. Huh? Y'all know how tight it was last year and I preached on love. Can I tell you, it wasn't nothing like the battles I fought since January the 1st. None of the resentment that you people give me when I preached on love and you didn't like it. Huh? They ain't nowhere compared to the battles I fought inside when I started preaching our theme on coming fully alive in 2025. Are you listening to me this morning? I got a God that sees. Huh? Every week, somebody else is getting bad news. Every week, here lately, every week, we've been going through this and, well, they found a spot. This and they found something suspicious. This and they, something's come up and test after test. Well, we've done went through 2 year of that, huh? Prayer list, prayer chain. The lost list ain't changing. Other, we're taking them off. They've died and went to hell. That's the only way our prayer list has changed on the lost side. We ain't getting them saved. God help us. They're going out in eternity without God. And we're scratching them off. Huh? Ain't that sad? Health. Well, we'll never have enough paper to write down all the health problems. But man, that cancer list. That cancer list is every week. Well, what are they going for? Well, they found something. Well, they think maybe. Just everywhere you turn. It makes everybody don't even want to go to the doctor if they got a flu. They don't want to go get an antibiotic. Are you listening to me? We've done buried too many people in the last couple of years. Our hearts are still broken. We've still got things that ain't right and our hearts hurt. We're worried about politics and worried about groceries and worried about this and that. And we'll fret about things we ain't got no business fretting about. And what we're doing is we're getting ourselves worked up. And we're slowly slipping away. Slowly slipping away. We're not quitting, but we're practicing. Are you hearing me? We're not quit yet, but we're practicing. Wondering whether we ought to go somewhere else. Wondering if we ought to go to a different church or maybe my usefulness is done there. Maybe I'll just go, huh? Are you listening to me? Nobody's told me that, but I got no sense to know how we are. Is everybody okay with me? What we need this morning, we need to bury our pride there in the seat and find ourselves around this altar again. The altar's done dried up. Done dried up on both sides. There was a time that we come all through the singing service and everything. Now it's rare. We ain't been using the altar. Because we're slowly backing off. We're slowly backing off. But we got one that sees. Oh, we got one that hears. Are you listening to me this morning? I know we're discouraged. I know we fought battles. I know we're tired. I know that. But he's still strong. He's still great. Ain't nobody like him this morning. Nobody. You can trust him. You can trust him this morning. I think of Hagar. Can you imagine that old Egyptian girl? They've been worshiping, raised up worshiping flies and frogs and all these kind of animals and ravens and all this. And she goes out yonder in the wilderness, ain't nobody around, all down in the mouth hurting and tore up. What do I do? What do I do? And the Lord speaks at her. And she said, this is the Lord that sees me. Huh? This is the Lord that sees me. He sees you this morning. Can I ask what he sees? Does he see one of his children? Or does he see somebody that needs to be his child? Are you a Christian this morning? Are you saved? Are you sure? I mean sure. Huh? I'm glad. Think about it. Sure. Are you sure? If you ain't sure, won't slip out of your seat and come on. We'll show you. But we'll let the Lord give you the assurance. We'll show you what the book says. But the Lord will have to give you the assurance. If you ain't saved, you need saved this morning. See, I don't know your heart. I see your face. Can I tell you? What I see in your face, if it matches what's in your heart, listen, if it matches, because your face shows the load. Your face shows the load. You're not hiding it. Your face shows the load. If your heart is the same way, come to the one that sees this morning. Come to the one that sees you. Have faith. Here she goes out there in the wilderness to go to her boy. Water's gone. I can't stand to watch him die. And the Lord says, hey, I heard that boy. I heard that boy. The God that hears. El Shammah. The God that hears us. Won't you come this morning? Steve, get us a song there. Won't you come this morning? Won't you find yourself a place around this altar and come back here. Come back like we used to and get her lined out like we used to this morning. That'd be fine. Maybe you need saved this morning. Won't you come? Come and when you come, if you want to be saved, come and tell us, preacher, I need saved this morning. Come and let me know what's going on. Won't you come? Let's stand together right now. Let's sing.
Number 288.